Hierdie inset sal word aan jou gebring deur Radio Kaapse Kansel op 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus by www.kaapsekansel.co.za.
Jou daglikse reisgenoot, Radio Kaapse Kansel op 729 AM.
Met mekaar te deel is baie belangrik. Luisteraars, dit is 2021 en die pandemie is nog steeds met ons. Die tweede golf is egter onverskrokke en maai ons mense af soos vlee. Toch moet ons hoopvol bly. En hoe bly ons hoopvol? Om te glo en vertrou op ons hemelse Vader, om ook na mekaar te kyk en ons stories met mekaar te deel, ons ondervindinge en ook om mekaar met raad en daad te ondersteun. Vandag gesels ek met 'n baie spesiale dametjie wat vir die afgelope 3 jaar oor see gewerk het in verskeie lande en ook wêreldreise ondergaan het om haarself emosioneel, geestelik, sielkundig en ook haar selfbeeld 'n hupstoot te gee. So het sy dan ook die wêreld beter verstaan, sodat sy 'n beter toekoms vir haarself kan vestig. En dit is dus belangrik dat ons op die reis van selfontdekking moet gaan, luisteraars. Waar ons onsself ontdek, ons sterk en swakhede of swakpunte, om ook te sien hoe ander dinge doen, om dit wat goed is daaruit te neem en te bou daarop, en dit wat minder goed is ook daaruit te leer en verbeter daarop. So luisteraars, bly dus ingeskakel, want vandag gesels ons met hierdie besonderse 25-jarige dametjie. Goeiedag luisteraars en welkom by Kopskuif met my Malwena Meisen, waar ons elke Saterdag onderwys en skoolgemeenskapsake gesels. Ons gesels vandag met Chidi Green, wat 4 jaar gelede haar graad in internasionale studies politieke wetenskap aan die Universiteit van Stellenbosch voltooi het. Sy het daarna besluit om oorsee te gaan en werk en die wêreld te verken. So bly dis ingeskakel op 729 AM Radio Kaapse Kansel, want na die breek gaan ons met haar gesels. Luisteraars, hier op Kopskuif praat ons saam en dink ons saam oor relevante onderwerpe en ons skoolgemeenskappe. Saam met julle almal kan ons 'n groot verskil maak, want ons by die ATKV glo dat onderwys inderdaad almal se verantwoordelikheid is. Met hierdie program reflekteer ons deur gesprekvoering op onderwys en meer spesifiek ons skoolgemeenskappe en onderwysers. Dit is dus 'n platform waar die onderwysgeleerders en opvoeders hul wenke, tegnieke, vaardighede en suksesstories kan deel met ander. Met 'n fokus op kreatiewe onderrigstrategieë, die huidige knelpunte in die onderwys en om ons opvoeders te ondersteun, hulle te bemoedig en help om slimmer, wyser en gesonder aksies in hul klas en vir hul welstand te implementeer. So onderhoude word weekliks gevoer met skoolgemeenskapsrolspelers, prinsipale, ouers, onderwyskundiges, leerders, met ons hooffokus natuurlik ons opvoeders. So hierdie is die platform waar opvoeders gesien en gehoor gaan word. Welkom terug luisteraars op Kopskuif met my Malwena Meisen. Ek het ook in huwelik getree in Desember, so my van wat nou bygevoeg gaan word is Engelbrug. Luisteraars, vandag kuier ek met baie interessante dame, Chidi Green. Sy is 'n 25-jarige dametjie wat die afgelope 3 jaar oorsee gewerk het. Sy het verskeie lande besoek en ook in 2 lande het was sy betrokke in onderwys. So vandag gesels ons met haar om 'n bietjie meer uit te vind oor wat gebeur in ander lande, veral nou gedurende die pandemie, en hoe dit die lande geaffekteer het, vir spesifiek ook hul skole. Ons gaan kyk na wat hulle gedoen het toe die pandemie kop uitsteek en hoe onderrig plaasgevind het in die 2 onderskeie lande waar sy gewerk het. En ook net luister na hoe hulle dinge gedoen het, want dit is hoe mens leer. Deur na ander se stories te luister, kan jy jouself verbeter en jy kan ook sien wat werk en wat werk nie, sodat jy slimmer en wyser besluite kan neem. Goeiedag, Chidi Green, en welkom op by ATKV Kopskuif.
Goeiedag mevrou en luisteraars. Dit is 'n groot voorreg om vandag hier met julle te kan wees en so 'n bietjie met julle te kan praat. Ek vra om verskoning, maar ek sal die onderrig in Engels doen omdat my Afrikaans benodig een bietjie beskerping. Ek is vastig in die land en het die afgelope paar jaar vir die tale gepraat en for that reason I need to improve my Afrikaans a little bit more and just revise and refresh my Afrikaans.
Baie dankie, Chidi. Ja, ons gaan onmiddellik wegspring. Jy verstaan goed Afrikaans. Jy het begin met Afrikaans en jy het ook Afrikaans op skool gehad, maar jy is vry en welkom om in Engels te antwoord en ek verstaan. Jy was in 2 totaal verskillende lande waar jy die taal aangeleer het en hopelik ook goed. Ek hoop jy gaan met ons 1-2 woordjies deel in daardie taal. So, Chidi, ek sal graag wil hê jy met jouself voorstel wie jy is, wat jy gestudeer het, waar vandaan kom jy en wat is jou stokperdjies en so aan.
Okay, so my name is Judy Green and I was born and raised in the small town of Paar. However, I moved to Strand or the Gordon's Bay area halfway through my primary school days. I am a political science graduate from the University of Stellenbosch and have been working abroad for the last 3 years. I spent 2 years teaching English in South Korea and then moved on to South America where I worked in Colombia. As for my hobbies, as of now, I am trying to get back into reading and spending my time with family, especially after being away from home for so long.
Ah, dis interessant, Chidi. Kan jy vir ons vertel, wat het jou laat besluit om oorsee te gaan na jy gegradueer het?
Well, first and foremost, it has always been a lifelong dream of mine to travel. But for, as many of you might know, it's not always that easy when you are young and in need of some financial support. I was fortunate to have had the opportunity to teach English in South Korea, and it was, in my view, a chance to get my feet wet to learn Afrikaans, and my twink is not the grey, and to start my travelling journey. Yeah, so that's how it started.
Okay. Kan jy meer specific wees oor wat jy studeer het, en wat behels dit, en waarom het jy besluit om dit te studeer?
My degree in international studies at Stellenbosch University compromised of majors in history and political science. So I was studying all history, as you, we all know, and then analyzing politics in the African context. So I spent a few years studying foreign languages such as French, which was one of my compulsory subjects, as well as political science, social anthropology, and history. All these subjects are well compiled or composed together so as to give you a broader understanding of South Africa in the global context.
Ok, baie dankie daarvoor. So nou verstaan ons ook wat dit is. Het jy gesê, wat het jou laat besluit om het te studeer, om die politieke wetenskap, wat was jou motivering daarachter?
So as many of you know, once you're in high school, you are required to have subject selections in grade 9. I was very ambitious at that stage and had the aspirations of helping the world and saving the world and contributing to Africa and the African cause. I then was fortunate enough to have psychometrics test done when I was in high school, and the test revealed that I showed a strong inclination towards the humanitarian field. I was then guided by a very helpful psychologist at the time to pursue a career in development or in politics. Yeah, so that's basically how I found Stellenbosch University and found this specific degree. But yes, I still hope to one day pursue the dreams of working for, who knows, the United Nations or some government body that seeks to aid and assist and improve the lives of everyday Africans.
Dankie daarvoor, Chidi. Ek wil graag weet, do you have siblings? Het jy broers en sisters? En in watter velde is hulle dan?
Yes, I do. I come from a very big family. We are 5 children in total. I have 2 sisters and 2 brothers, and I am the middle child of the bunch. My sister is an actress, and she's currently acting on a show called Save and Elan. You might know her as Shady. Whereas my younger brother, he's currently studying at UCT. My older siblings are both working and are well on their way to establishing themselves as husbands and wives and parents. Yeah.
Dankie, Chidi. My volgende vraag is, hoe is dit moontlik gemaak om oor see te gaan? Jy weet, hier is ook jong mense wat aspireer om ook oor see se reise te gaan. Is dit duur? Hoe het jy vir jou plein kaartjie betaal? Hoe het jy die proses, die bal aan die rol gesit om oor see te gaan? Het jy ouers daarvoor betaal, of het jy dan 'n skenking gekry, of hoe het jy dit moontlik gemaak?
That's a very, very important question. I know, coming from a background where there wasn't always financial means to pursue traveling or pursue certain dreams, that it is extremely difficult for many young people, especially in today's economy, to pursue those dreams. I was very fortunate at the time to have had a boyfriend who was extremely supportive of me and encouraged me to not give up or not allow those financial barriers to stop me from pursuing this dream. I was not able to receive the donations from my parents just as mean at my pursuits, but I was able to work for a few months to save up to purchase my flight tickets for my first trip abroad. I then used the money that I received from my teaching to fund my later ventures. So yes, it's not easy, but if you have a dream, you put the hard work in and you make it happen.
And your flight tickets, the booking of it, en so ook jou werk wat jy gedoen het oor see, wie het die beplanning en die reëlings daarvan gedoen?
Well, that was all me, to be very simply. Yes, I had assistance here and there, friends that have that were abroad before I went, who guided me to certain recruiters, certain companies, certain programs that are more reputable than others. As I said, I had a very supportive boyfriend who was also who sat next to me during the entire process while I was researching things and assisted me wherever need be. But yeah, mostly Googling and then also reaching out to people. What I've learned to realize from my experience is that your biggest resource is the people that you know. To reach out, don't be ashamed or afraid to contact. to ask questions, but that's the only way that you'll gain knowledgeable or insightful information.
Daar hoor jy dit, ouers en die jong span, niks hoef in jou pad te staan om jou drome realiteit te maak nie. Nie geld nie, of ook nie onkunde nie, daar is baie maniere hoe jy dinge kan maak werk, en daar kom dit ook nou weer baie duidelik uit, dat menseverhoudinge is natuurlik die belangrikste. Om met mense te kommunikeer, hulp te vra, vra te vra, en ondersteuning te kry van hulle, is jou grootste bate. Luisteraars, bly ingeskakel op 729 AM Radio Kaapse Kansel, op die program Kopskuif, waar ons net na die breek verder met Chidi Green gaan gesels, en sy gaan met ons dan deel, watter lande het sy al besoek, en wat vir haar uitgestaan het, op hierdie interessante reise van haar. Ons gaan ook luister na waar sy school gegee het, in watter lande sy school gegee het, en vir ons 'n bietjie meer meedeel, oor wat daaraan gaan. Tot na die breek, luisteraars. Welkom terug, luisteraars, op Kopskuif met my Malwena Meisen Engelbrug. Ek kuier nog steeds met Chidi Green, die 25-jarige dame, wat met ons deel haar reise die afgelope 3 jaar in Oorseese lande en ook haar 2 jaar wat sy in die onderwys was in die Oorseese, 3 jaar wat sy in die onderwys was in die Oorseese lande. Nou Chidi, kan jy met ons deel die lande wat jy in hierdie 3 jaar allemaal besoek het? En dan sal ek ook graag wil hê, jy moet by elke land wat jy besoek het vir my deel, wat vir jou uitgestaan het. So, sê vir ons die land wat jy in was en wat vir jou uitgestaan het of kenmerkend was van die land.
Well, that will be a very extensive list. So for time's sake, I'll highlight the countries that stood out the most for me. So I was fortunate enough to visit Vietnam and Philippines and South Korea. What I definitely noted about, I want to say, the Korea, for one, is that they are extremely advanced technologically. It was just so amazing to be able to experience a country where we don't necessarily fear driving down the road or fear walking at night. So one thing that definitely stood out for Korea was just the safety, especially being a woman in her mid-20s and being very much aware of what's happening around the world, especially in our own country. Just the safety aspect was one of the most wonderful experiences for me. I also traveled to Colombia, Mexico, the USA and Turkey. Turkey, beautiful country, beautiful city, Istanbul, with so much culture and history and just architecture that dates many, 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 many years back. Mexico as well, beautiful country, beautiful history with the Mayans, and I was fortunate to experience and visit some of the very old sites, Mayan sites, and just to be blown away by the extent of history that lies within those countries is just mind-blowing. I spent the last few months in Colombia where I taught, as you know, and just again being welcomed by the warmth of the Colombian people, and just that we all know Colombians or just Latinos are fiery and exciting and just ambitious and loud and overall lively people. So to be embraced by that and the culture of the Colombians was something that I cherish and will continue to cherish for many, many more years.
Enige ander land wat jy besoek het, hoe het jy Amerika gevind? En enige ander land wat jy dalk besoek het, wat jy iets opgemerk het wat vir jou uitstaan? Japan?
I did not travel to Japan, but for the USA, I know that we are very well informed about the current political arena in the States at the moment, especially with Donald Trump and the protests that happened late last year. From my experience, I was fortunate enough to be to have visited the USA during a time that was fairly calm. I didn't experience any of the crazy protests or Trump energy during my visit there. So I had a very pleasant and very peaceful stay. I will comment that we need to be very wary of what we see on the media, because as we know, the media sometimes distorts certain truths or exploits certain truths for whatever reasons they might have. So just a note to all people, be wary of what you see on the media, because I know that it is a business. So the same way that we would like our South Africans to see, or the world to see South Africa in the light that we all see it, just be wary.
Dankie, Chidi. Dan wil ek vir jou vra, watter lande van die lande wat jy nou besoek het, die 11-12 lande wat jy al besoek het, sal jy graag weer na toe wil terugkeer?
I absolutely loved each country for very different reasons. But if I had to choose, it would most definitely be Turkey, and that is just for the culture. My stay in Turkey was extremely short, only a day, so I wasn't able to explore Istanbul to the extent that I would have loved. But definitely Turkey for the culture, just the architecture, the culture, once again. Secondly, Colombia. I do have a Colombian family on that side now, which I was very fortunate to make last year. So I would love to go back and just explore more of Colombia. Unfortunately, I was there during the pandemic, so I was very limited in what I could see. And for those of you that do not know, Colombia is an extremely diverse country. Much like South Africa, we have so many different provinces, different landscapes, different cultures. Colombia is very much the same, so I would love to go back and explore more of the parts that I was unable to see.
Okay, goed so, Chidi. En kan jy vir ons sê, verskil Suid-Afrika en hoe ons leefwyse, of dit wat jy persoonlik ervaar het, jou leefwyse wat jy in Suid-Afrika gehad het, verskil dit baie van dit wat jy ervaar het in die oorseese lande?
Yes, definitely. Also, I think it depends on the country that I'm referring to. In terms of the difference between South Korea and South Africa, there is a vast difference. South Africans are vibrant, we are personable, we enjoy our braais, we enjoy being surrounded by people and good energy and social gatherings, whereas in South Korea, they tend to be a lot more individual, so you don't see people visiting homes very often. Apart from just on the social spectrum, economically it's vastly different as well. In South Korea, most people live well above the poverty line, whereas in South Africa we have an extreme inequality gap. So that's very prevalent when you're driving through Cape Town or driving through any parts of Africa. You don't see that disparity or that inequality to that extent in South Korea. With regards to Colombia, yes, there are definitely similarities between South Africans and Colombia. Extremely family orientated, extremely proud to be Colombian, same as South Africans. Extremely personable. You can go to any place and you will be welcomed with a big smile, much like in South Africa. With regards to the USA, depending on the set that you're in, yes, there are differences, obviously, but for the most part, they are much like us as well, and they share the same grievances, the same joys as we do, and yeah, anything else?
Dit is goed en interessant om dit te hoor. Mag ek jou vra, geloof, hoe word dit toegepas in Suid-Korea en in Colombia, hoe was jou ervaring daarvan en vooral rondom Christendom?
To my surprise, there was a surprisingly big Christian community in South Korea. There were many, many churches, and you'd often find people evangelizing within the Korean streets. So I was pleasantly surprised at just the amount or the presence of Christianity within Korea, especially considering Korean once being a Confucian country. As for Colombia, yes, predominantly Roman Catholic churches within the Colombian society, but also extremely orientated around spirituality and their belief and their trust in God and the Father God has in their life. So yes, both countries surprisingly very big Christian presences within those countries.
Dit is goed om dit te hoor, Judy. Jy self, hoe het jy gevoel as 'n jong dametjie? Jy was 22.
Yes.
Toe jy Suid-Afrika verlaat en oorsee gaan op jou eie. Het jy ooit onveilig gevoel? Het jy ooit bang gevoel? Het jy ooit onseker gevoel? Was daar tye waar jy in probleme gesit het en dalk wou tou ingooi? Hoe het jy so'n klein fijn dametjie dit gemaakt werk 3 jaar alleen in die vreemde waar soveel dinge gebeur wereldwijd en ons elke dag daarvan lees in die nuus?
Yes, that's a question I get all the time. We do live in a very unsafe world, especially being a woman, a young woman of that, especially traveling on your own. There are definitely risks that I cannot overemphasize. However, in my experience, I was very fortunate to not have encountered any extreme crimes or in the situation where I felt my life was at risk. And for the most part, I felt fairly safe during my travels. I would like to say I felt safer abroad than when I did in my home country, unfortunately. Even being in a place like Colombia or Mexico that is known for their violence, I at no point felt that my life was at risk. I ever have been the victim of some crime. This is more, I won't say organized crime, where I was in Mexico at the time and my bank account had been hacked. So I was on vacation in the beautiful Cancun on the beaches when I was notified that my entire bank account had been cleared. So while I was there, someone unfortunately hacked my account and cleared my bank account and left me stranded. My mother was so stressed out, of course, as a mother would be. She was calling me, panicking, concerned about my well-being, about having money. But however, fortunately enough, I was able to have the transactions reversed, and surprisingly, South African banks were very open and managed to repay my funds within 5 days. So I was very fortunate and very blessed to have been protected and guided through that time, and that I was not left destitute during my travels through Mexico.
Dis wonderlik, Chidi. Chidi, nou sal ek graag wil weet, op die program Kopskuif bring ons mos kopskuive in ons skoolgemeenskappe. Jy het in Suid-Korea, was jy betrokke by skool, jy het onderwys gegee. Kan jy met ons deel hoe verskil hulle onderwys van ons in Suid-Afrika? Jy kan net 'n vergelyking trek met hoe jy jou skooljare ervaar het en die skool waar jy nou by was.
Yes, of course. So I taught at a public school in South Korea, who's government funded, of course, and the difference between the public school system in South Korea and that of South Africa, it's worlds apart. The school that I was in a fairly lower income community. However, the standard of the school and the facilities that they had was that of a private school in South Africa. All students had access to computers in the classrooms. They used smart TVs and smart boards and projectors. Not only was the facilities of the school itself world class, but the students were exposed to coding, so they had coding classes even though they were elementary schools. So that's grade 3, grade 4. They were exposed to coding, and the access that they had to certain materials in terms of biology, even the English classroom. They are fortunate enough to have a foreign teacher to teach them English firsthand, whereas in South Africa, just to have the basic needs met, textbook delivered to schools is a major problem. So I was both disheartened to recognize the disadvantage and disservice that we do to our students back at home. It's in some way not fair that these students who are the same age, who were born in the same generation, experience the world so, so differently. But through that despair and through that disappointment that I saw, I also saw motivation for me to work harder. Because as you, I'm not sure if you're aware, but Korea itself experienced a tragic war 50 years ago, where the entire country was completely depleted and destroyed after the war. Yet they managed to stand together and build the country to where it is today. So it gave me inspiration to not give up hope on South Africa. Yes, things aren't where they need to be, and yes, a lot of students and our students are suffering under our system that is failing them, but that there is hope for improvement, that we shouldn't give up on that. Also, it made me proud of our students to know that despite their unfortunate circumstances and the state of our education, they're still managing to succeed. We see so many students that are beating the odds and going above and beyond to rise up from our system and to make it in the world. So yes, we need to work harder, but also we need to be proud of our students for how far they're coming and what they make of their very dire situations.
Absoluut. Dit is wonderlik om dit te hoor, Chidi. Kan jy vir ons sê, hoeveel leerders het jy per klas aan daardie kant?
So it depends also on the school that you're in. As I mentioned before, I was in a slightly lower income community, so our classes were slightly bigger than the average school. Most of my friends would have about 20 students in the class, where I would have about 34, which
is
also...
Yeah, but you're in a public school.
Public school, yes. But even public schools on that side would have much smaller classrooms.
Okay.
So our school, or my classes, were at capacity, and that was at 32 students a class, and that was at full capacity.
Mm.
So yes, that's a big difference.
Yeah. En Chidi, jylle hulpbronne wat jylle tot jylle beskikking het, en die werkslading van opvoeders, is dit dieselfde soos by ons? Moet jylle ook naskoolsaktiwiteite doen, soos sport, netbal?
That's another very prominent difference that I noted between South Africa and Korea. They do not have a sporting culture within the schools. South Africa, most students are required to do a physical activity as part of their application to the school. And we have massive derbies and athletics events that encourage sports and the recreational activities. Whereas in Korea, that is not the case. So they do not necessarily offer soccer or athletics to students. Each school maybe have one or two sports that they prioritize, and even then it was very limited. So in Korea, in my school, they only emphasized tennis. There was no other sports. So I did not see soccer, I did not see athletics within my school.
And wie onderrigt dit?
That would be teachers. So they would have normal teachers, yeah, in the school.
Is jylle werklading ook so groot gewees soos die Suid-Afrikaanse onderwysers ins? Of
Yes, so they would have the staff size would be about the same. However, a big difference is that in Korea, their policy is that teachers may not be at a school for more than 4 years. So every 4 years,
wow,
the entire staff basically rotates to different schools. So if I, as a young teacher, were to go into a school, I would only be allowed to teach at that school for 4 years, then I would be obliged to change schools. The same applies to principals, kitchen staff, administration staff as well. So basically every 4 years there is a massive rotation within the schools where they have an entirely new structure.
Dis interessant. Luisteraars, so gesels Chidi Green. Bly ingeskakel op 729 AM, dit is nou Radio Kaapse Kansel met my Malwena Meisen Engelbreg op die program Kopskuif. Hier deel ons ons stories, ervaringe en suksesresepte. Met Kopskuif glo ons by die ATKafé dat onderwys almal se verantwoordelikheid is en dat ons saam 'n verskil kan maak in ons land. Net na die breek kuier ons verder met Chidi. Welkom terug luisteraars. Ons gesels op Kopskuif, onderwys en skoolgemeenskapsake, en ons kuier met Chidi Green, wat vir 3 jaar oor see was en in skole in 2 verskeie lande onderrig het. Chidi, jy het nou vir ons vertel hoe onderwys in Suid-Korea is.
Ek wil nou hê jy moet met ons deel. Terwyl jy in Suid-Korea was, het die pandemie uitgebreek. Vertel ons hoe jy dit ervaar het en hoe, wat het gebeur in julle skool? Hoe het jy die pandemie benader? En wat was die werkswyse toe in jou skool en dan ook 'n bietjie in jou gemeenskap of in land?
So I left Korea early February last year. That was just before the pandemic hit to the extent that we know today. So by the time I was there, it was mostly in China, and we had a few cases in Korea. So I was fortunate enough to not have been stranded in South Korea when the major lockdowns were implemented. But from that 1 week that I did experience the coronavirus, these schools had a system in place where all students had to be checked for the temperature and then screened for any potential symptoms. But other than that, I cannot speak on my experience in Korea because, as I said, I was only there for the very, very, very first few days of the virus, so my experience is somewhat incomplete.
Limited. Chidi, from there you went on holiday and then thereafter to Colombia, where you were teaching there. Kan jy met ons deel hoe het jy onderwys ervaar eerstens in Colombia en hoe verskil hulle onderwys systeem van ons af, of watter ooreenkomste is daar? En ook soos jy nou met die vorige die Suid-Koreaanse skool, hulle werkswyse, die aantal leerders per klas, en hoe vergelyk dit met ons onderwys en ons skole in Suid-Afrika?
So my experience in Colombia was somewhat different, or vastly different from my experience in South Korea. In Colombia, I was teaching at a private school, so the classes were much smaller. We had about 11 students in a class on average, or 10 on average, and the students were of a slightly higher income group. So I was privileged enough to be in a school that had certain systems in place that could handle the pandemic and the challenges that we were faced for education during the pandemic. So I only had about 1 week of actual in-class teaching before the pandemic hit, and then we went virtual. So my experience from teaching in Colombia is only from my virtual classes. So I cannot speak necessarily on the experience of day-to-day life in the classrooms in Colombia, but I can speak on the systems in place and the challenges that we faced teaching virtually in Colombia.
Okay, so can you then share with us how you experienced it, and especially the virtual teaching? In Suid-Afrika het ons baie groot uitdagings gehad in die pandemie in die skoolsisteem, omdat oor grote meerderheid van ons skole nie noodwendig toegang gehad het tot die internet nie, en aanlyn leer dis 'n groot probleem was vir ons. Kan jy met ons deel julle hoe die onderwys gewerk het gedurende die pandemie?
Yes, of course. So Colombia has the same challenges that we do have in South Africa in terms of inequality. We had major struggles during the conversion from in-class learning to virtual because many students did not have access to internet or stable connections of internet or laptops. So the initial months were a bit of a struggle with parents adapting to the new system. Something that we struggled with till the very end was, as I mentioned, just a lack of access. So some students are fortunate enough to have all the resources needed to successfully complete the virtual classes, where others didn't. Also the struggles with parents working. Some parents have the freedom or the luxury to be at home assisting their kids by their side during the classes, where others do not. So we noticed a big difference in the overall performance of learners who had the support of their parents and those who didn't. Unfortunately, some students or some parents were required to still work during this time, so they couldn't be there physically to guide their children and to assist in that virtual classes process. So that was something that we struggled with tremendously in Colombia, and I would imagine it was the same in South Africa. But as I said, that I was in a private school, so there was a lot of accommodations made for those students. Our staff went above and beyond to assist students that didn't have access. So we would do classes via WhatsApp call, exams that kids did not have access to on the platforms. We would then solve by calling them via WhatsApp or meeting them within the protocols for the COVID pandemic to ensure that the students had access to the work and materials. Mm. Whereas if I were in a public school, it might not have been the same case.
Chidi, ons sal nog vir ure kan saamgesels, maar ons tyd is vinnig besig om uit te loop. Ek sal graag by jou wil weet, vooral ook teen jou agtergrond as persoon wat politieke wetenskap internasionale studies gestudeer het. Jy het nou goeie blootstelling gehad van verskeie lande oor see, jy het in 2 totaal verskillende lande, wat absoluut verskillende onderwijsstelsels ook het, en jy het in 'n publieke school in Suid-Korea school gehou, en in 'n privaat school in Colombia school gehou, so jy het baie goeie insig gekry van onderwijsstelsels daar, vooral ook ten die achtergrond van jou kwalifikasies, of dit wat jy studeer het. As jy nou met ons minister van onderwijs, dit is Angie Motshekga, en die president van ons land, dit is president Cyril Ramaphosa, om een tafel nou sou sit, wat sou jy graag vir hulle wou sê? Wat ons moet doen in ons land vir ons onderwijsstelsel, want jy was in verskeie lande, jy sien wat werk nie, jy weet wat waar ons in gebreke by is, waar lê ons probleem ook in Suid-Afrika, wat denk jy moet ons doen om onderwijs te verbeter in ons land?
To be quite honest, I don't think that is an easy question to answer, because the problems that we face within our education stems much deeper than just education itself. It stems back to the socioeconomic makeup of our country. You cannot have an excellent school with all these wonderful resources when the child goes back home to a mother that is not home or has to come to school without having a meal. So there are so many other factors that influence a child's performance in school. However, the one advice that I would or could give is just that we as South African and as people invested in improving the education of our country is that we need to work harder at leveling the playing ground. The disparity between those that have and those that don't have is so vast, and we see it within our education system. We need to work harder at ensuring that whichever platforms we use, whichever national testing systems that we use, that we work harder at making sure that it is just and that it is fair to all students, taking into account that the limitations that some students do have. I wish I had more time to really unpack or jump into this question, probe into all the different factors involved, but for time's sake, all that I will say is that as a nation, we need to work hard at leveling the playing field.
I would just want to say, would you, with regards to leadership in our country and education, what advice will you give, or do we need for our leaders in this country with regards to education? Do we have sufficient leaders? Het ons leiers wat werklik met integriteit optree, of wat sal jy voorstel, wat moet ons doen? Want ek glo dat leierskap is wat, jy weet, hulle sê, 'n vis word van sy kop afrot. So die kop is die belangrikste. Wat is jou gevoel rondom die leierskap in ons land, en wat sal jy aanbeveel daarom te doen? Ek het jou nou in die diep kant in.
Yes, definitely. What I will say is that please understand that we have a system that is deeply flawed. Yes, we might change the leadership, but we will need many, many, many years to rectify the errors in our system. So first and foremost, recognize that whatever task our leaders are faced with, that is not an easy task to do. And as I said, there are so many different aspects to the problem that we need to address. So we can have an excellent school system, but if it doesn't, if it's not supported by infrastructure in terms of transport, in terms of social welfare, that has detrimental influences on the school system itself. So be aware of just how flawed our system is in itself. As for leadership, I think it is well understood that there are definitely some weak points within our current leadership, and that there is definitely need, work needed in terms of ensuring that our leaders are held accountable for their actions, and that they are really put to task and ensure that they complete the work that is assigned to them. And it's not, we have no more time to waste or to play games. Our people are suffering, our country is suffering, and we cannot allow poor leadership to dictate or take away from the prosperity that our country could have. That is all that I will say on that.
Baie dankie, Chidi Green. Luisteraars, dis nou uit die perdsebed. Dit is nou ons jeug. Dit is nou ons toekomstige leiers. Die 25-jarige Chidi Green en luisteraars, ek wil graag byvoeg. Dit is my oudste dogter. Sy is die tweede van vier kinders en dit was 'n voorreg om met haar te kuier. Chidi, baie dankie dat jy die studio met jou mama gedeel het vandag. Dankie ook vir dit wat jy met ons gedeel het. Ek sluit af, luisteraars, met die volgende woorde soos geskryf staan in Hebreërs 13 vers 16. Moenie versuim om goed te doen en wat jy het met mense in nood te deel nie. Luister, ek glo dat deur liefde, samehorigheid, omgee vir mekaar en empatiek te wees teenoor ander, sal dinge in equilibrium bring in ons samelewing. Ek wil weer stres daai laaste gedeelte. In equilibrium bring in ons samelewing. Chidi, ek wens jou alle voorspoed toe met jou toekomsplanne en jy het beslis baie, baie waarde wat jy kan toevoeg tot ons land en spesifiek ons onderwys en ons skoolgemeenskappe. Alle voorspoed vir jou.
Baie, baie dankie en weer eens dankie aan die luisteraars. Dit is 'n voorreg om vandag in die jaar te kan wees. Wil weer sê baie jammer oor my Engels, maar ek soos ek gesê het, ek moet weer my Afrikaans opskerp.
So maar, mama sal jou daar help. Luisteraars, dit was Kopskuif met my, Malwena Meisen Engelbreg. Skakel in elke saterdag tussen 4 en 5 by 729 AM. Dit is nou Radio Kaapse Kansel, waar ons onderwys en skoolgemeenskappe gesels, want ons by die ATKV glo dat onderwys is inderdaad almal se verantwoordelikheid. Tot ziens, luisteraars.
Hierdie insetsel is aan jou gebring deur Radio Kaapse Kansel op 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus op www.kaapsekansel.co.za.